Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. That's right. People, when are you going to learn? It is still simply amazing. Can you believe it? I mean, it's beyond my comprehension how I can come on here and talk to you week after week. That I can go online and talk to thousands of you Christians. You know, what's your problem? If you want to say gay is sin, what's your problem? Do you hear me? I mean, I have a continuing effort here to try to explain something to you so that maybe you can minister productively to gay people. If you really believe gay is sin, and that's the truth, then why can't you present the truth? I mean, why are you a person who really, honestly believes gay is sin that you're unable to explain the verses? Now, I bet most of you, and I hear most of you, are able to go into pretty good detail about explaining things about Jesus Christ, why he came, why he died, what kind of birth he had, what kind of things are going on in history about him at the time he was here. Lots of kinds of stuff you're a wizard at. I hate that word, but you know, I'm trying to find some way to help you understand what you're doing when you say, it's so simple. It's so clear. God hates it. God hates the sinner. I mean, loves the sinner, but hates the sin. It's in the Bible. You will quote a verse, or you will say to the gay person, read this verse. Is that all your responsibility is? So here a gay person reads the verse. And what do you suppose he reads? I mean, orgies, gang rape. So obvious. Tell me, explain to me, how a verse condemns gays. Where is the gay person in the verse? It doesn't seem like those of you that think gay is sin have any ability to minister to gay people. Because you just simply cannot explain the verses. Oh, Romans! Oh, Leviticus! That's all? That's it? You're not going to go and tell me, oh, man lies with man. That's it? You're not going to explain any further? What man? How they're lying? What's that womankind? What's the word abomination? What's the Hebrew meaning for the word man? Where were they when this verse was written? Or at least, what's the story, time period that the verse was written? What were Hebrew men doing when they were walking from Egypt to Canaan? What was on that trail? Why was Leviticus written? There is information here. There's the actual original Hebrew language. There's modern dictionaries for Hebrew language. Hebrew language has evolved. Some of the words in Hebrew today meant something entirely different a couple of thousand years ago. Just like English. We have words today in English that are evolving all the time. The word gay has meant many things over many years. Words evolve. You cannot take the evoluted word to be God's word. You have to go back to the original. Why can't you? Look at, see, there is a phone number there. Phone number, if you want personal contact back to you, You're not going to very likely get it if you're going to call that phone number. Too many. Can't get to y'all. Can't answer your question. Some of you act like you want answers. I mean, you don't get answers, and you don't talk to people. That's simple. You have to work at it. And so, I give more information of ways you can get particularly immediate, just about, response from me. You see my email address. You know, email is pretty amazing kind of thing. Get email, there it is, pops up on your screen. If it's not junk mail, then you read it. It's there. But guess what? There's a reply button. Easy to reply. Easy to talk back. Don't need any specific time. Don't need a telephone that you have access to all the time. You can email. That's why the email address is up there. So you can tell me why you think gay is sin. And what verse? I don't want to hear the same old things day in and day out. It's so simple. God hates it. It's so clear. Read this verse. Read that verse. Or you will actually quote the verse. That's it. What am I doing right now, people? What am I doing? Am I showing up on your TV screen? You wouldn't take too long to find out that I've been doing this every week for 22 years. Don't you think I read the verse? You think that magically or something? Or maybe somehow by your prayer, somehow your prayer is going to be more powerful than the thousands and thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of homophobe prayers that's gone before you? That somehow when I read the verse this time, I'll go, wow, God really does hate it. I'm sorry. Truth sets you free. And if you're going to quote a verse, you're going to have to explain how it is that you understand it the way you do. You can't say, well, God said it, that's good enough, they don't need to be anything else. No, it's living. So you mean somehow or another, I read the verse and because it's alive, it's going to go inside me and change me to the understanding of the way you understand it? That is not how you minister the Word of God. Why do we need pastors? You go to Sunday school, you drive there, try to find a parking place, park in there. Come on, let's go out there. Let's listen to it. Let's sit down here. Make sure our walls are there so the neighbors can't see it. And they're soundproof enough so they can't hear our singing. We got such a fantastic sound system. But we got to make sure the sound doesn't get out either so they don't know we're praising God and stuff. Keep that front door closed. And then you go in there and you listen to him. Finally, he gets up there and he starts explaining the Word of God to you. And you amen, and you amen, and you say hallelujah, and on and on. You just love it. You just love it. Why do you need him if it's so simple? Why do you need him to use the Hebrew and Greek words and go into the ancient language? You know, hey, you know, I'm 60 years old. I've been to 1,000 churches. I've been ages and ages, and I had jobs that took me to all kinds of churches to sit there and listen to sermons. Pastors, Christian-wide, to go into each verse by verse explaining the ancient meaning. Unfortunately, we have modern versions today. Modern versions of Satan counterfeit. But still, you can study into the ancient language. So when your pastor's there, if he did his homework, he seems to want to use a modern version, which is Satan counterfeit, but at least if he's done his homework, he can actually get ancient language and meaning and explain it to you who's listening, all ears, you're listening. Oh, amen, amen. More, pour more of it into my ears. Let me hear every single detail better, everything we can know about each and every verse that you're talking about, Pastor. But the gay issue, what happens to you? The one verse is good enough? A phrase in a verse is good enough? It's so simple, it's so clear?
Yeah, a verse like Jesus is God.
Now, actually, in the King James Version, which is the only real Bible that at least comes from the original, all modern translations do not come from the original text. They come from a corrupt manuscript. But actually, this one verse that is two words long, God, Jesus is good, it is the actual translation is Jesus is God. But King James didn't do this necessarily on purpose. It's just that sometimes when you're putting together a Bible, you mess up because we're human. The King James is the most studyable Bible in existence. You could study it. And find every single thing out. Get back down to the nitty-gritty of the originals and so forth. And see all the various scholars. And come up with some sort of knowledge to talk about stuff. And there your pastor is. Day in and day out on his services, teaching you each and every word of each and every sentence. I had my coffee here. So why can't you learn from your pastor? Your pastor won't even do it concerning gays, but why can't you? Why do you have to come in chat rooms or you call the number there and God hates it? Read this verse. It's so clear. You're going to go to hell. Oh, I'm praying for you that you can, that God deliver you. That's all you need to say? Now, some of you are better than that. Then I hear you. Thank you. But why can't you say the words nature and natural? Why can't you get into the detail that the words mean seed and instinct? You know? An apple tree will be an apple tree because it comes from an apple seed. Now, when you get up to full grown and the time the bees come and you get a flower, what's going to grow? An orange? Or will an apple tree make an apple grow? I mean, these are what these kind of words mean. When you're growing up, you're whoever it is that you are. There are certain points of your time where things change. Some things are vastly different than before. When you're growing up as a child, you're starting to turn into an adult, things change drastically. Then you get a little bit further, then things are not changing quite so much, but there's some of them are noticeable. Then when you get up there, in your mid-40s and stuff, some other stuff starts changing. And some of that's pretty drastic. Things happen. There's all kinds of attitudes of people. And say, you're just not going to make some people like some things no matter what you do. If you're a big old macho sports fan or something, you're not going to make all these other people sports fans just because you are. Country Western people, who cares of what time of season it is? There are people that have something they like and they seek it out. There's so many denominations. All of you are going to place that you like. You don't like the way these people do it over here. You don't like the way these... God doesn't care about these kind of things. Now people, you've got to understand that. There it is. A chat name. Isn't that amazing? What is it? Yahoo! Yahoo's about the most popular chat program that you can imagine. And they got lots of Christian chat rooms. And the chat messenger. Now, Gays for Jesus must be an awfully simple name to remember. And I'm online quite a bit. What happens when you go to chat? You push in that? And you say hi or something or whatever. Homophobes like to say you're going to hell or something. Or they'll maybe paste in a verse. But guess what? It pops up on my monitor and there it is and I see you there. And guess what I like to do? I like to look at the profile so I can see. Homophobes especially don't like to put anything in their profile.
They don't want people to know they're a Christian, or what kind of Christian, or what kind of background. They don't want to have pictures. They don't want to do anything. So when you see the person, all you're seeing is text that is saying you're going to hell. Instead of having said, some of you are pretty good, though. Some of you, you know, use the profile as a witnessing tool, and you can see, there's the picture. You know, seeing somebody's face does wonders in the conversation. It makes human beings out of the black and white text, or if you choose to have a colored text, that's up to you. So why don't you fill out profiles? No, little pet peeve. If you don't put in a profile, then we got to spend time finding out who you are, why you think you could come to me and tell me something. You could find out a lot about me by going to my profile. See where I've been. So when you come to talk to me, you don't have to go through all this stuff. You know, when you're typing and everything, you don't want to type all kinds of stuff. You want to get to the point. You only have so much time. Get to the point. It's just my pet peeve. Fill out your profile. But anyway, you could chat. There it is. Chat name. Oh, call me back. Do you think I'm going to take time? This already takes lots of time to do lots of things. And I'm going to take time to answer or call back somebody that is as hateful as to say, you're going to hell? Or put a quote, a scripture quote? Why don't they watch the program? They're calling me because they see the phone number there. 24 minutes or so, here I am, talking. And I talk about, I cover things. I cover verses. I cover this and that and the other thing. Listen to the program. Don't flip on for a second or two and then flip it off. And then call me and put in your spew. Why don't you talk about this? Well, if you just listen, you might hear it. Some of you, a lot of you are pretty good. But then some of you that just, every once in a while, I need to come and try to help you learn a little bit, maybe, if you want to talk to me. Where am I? So, people, come on now. You're smarter than saying it's so clear. You're smarter than just saying God hates it. You're smarter than quoting a verse or saying it's in the Bible. You're smarter than that. Your head is so full of the Bible from your pastor explaining everything. Your fingertips have so much ability to search the world out in all time, every language, anything you want. It's there. Anything you want, it's there. Some things you have to figure out what keyword to use, but it's there for you to get. You could get this side of the story, that side of the story. You could get lies. You could get truth. You could get absolute proof. You could get people that know things and tell you, but they're not providing the absolute track down to the truth because sometimes it takes so long. I am really, if it were, bad at actually putting down different type of sources. I don't have that ability or the capability or stuff to sit there and log in every single source like historians do. You can see all the little markers where they are. If you're hearing me talk to you, all I can do is tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I read it, and I read it from credible sources. Come on, people. Just because a person's gay doesn't mean he's stupid or dumb. Just because you don't like what you're hearing doesn't mean it's true. That there's something out there and it's something worth looking for. If you're going to condemn 630 million gays to hell without hope in God, unless they change to be straight somehow or another, then you need to begin to show them how it is that it's sin. Gays are not flaky. They're not justifying their lifestyle. Oh, so simple. You don't get your way with gay people, you say they're justifying. And it's the homophobe. It's the church that is saying gay is sin, that is justifying their hatred of gays. Because they do not spend the time to explain the verses. Why can't even the best of scholars, the Bible scholars and professors, why can't these intense Hebrew language, grammar, all this kind of stuff, the intense ancient language scholars out there,
that come on TBN and various other places, and you can go to their website, that dig down deep into the stuff. Why don't they use their same expertise and knowledge concerning the gay issue? They don't. I have talked to so many of the most popular ones, so many all over for 33 years. You don't study. You don't use facts. You just say it's in the Bible. Why? Leviticus uses the word man. You see it in English. What can you do? You read English. You don't read Hebrew. So what do? Assume man means just any old man. Just say, you know, hey, it's talking about a male and a male, so it's got to be gay. No, it does not. We have words like heterosexual man. When we put the word heterosexual in front of man, what does that mean? That means he's straight, right? When we put the word practicing heterosexual man, what does that mean? Because you love to say, oh, gay is okay, but it's practicing. That's sin. People, the word man in Leviticus is a Hebrew straight man that loves sex with women, had sex, is 99.9% married off to a woman, has kids. This is what this man is. And when he's going to that other man, it is just absolutely going to be a male temple prostitute in the fertility temples all over the land for all of the different gods and goddesses. You do your study and your research, you find the Bible talking about all this stuff. You go to the land in those ancient days, you see these fertility temples, you see the documentation about the sodomites, the male temple prostitutes. And yet when you read it, somehow you make it like some male meets another male, and they date, and they fall in love, and they get married. And you say, this is what it's comparing. You're saying, like, it's a husband and a wife. If two men get together like a husband and wife, it's sin. This is how you interpret the verse. Now, this is a really hard verse. It took quite a while. I knew gay was not sin, so I knew the truth would come. And I sought it, and I read and read, studied, years gone by. So 15 years, then the information started to come in that shows that man is a straight man, and that other man is a male temple prostitute. The woman is an adulterous woman. It is not a husband and wife comparison. It is a straight married man that he would go off and commit adultery with some prostitute or something, or some other married woman. The womankind in Leviticus is representing a sexually immoral woman, not a wife. If you look at the long definitions for womankind, you do concede that it is a potentially possible that a wife could be in there. But you have to wade through a lot of sexual immorality. And when you use a Bible on itself to study the usage of this situation and the theme of it, you're talking about a sexually immoral woman. And the man, they don't want to particularly say that it's sexually immoral because it's just using the word man. Except it's a straight man. So a husband of some wife is going to perhaps a wife of some husband and having sex. It is not a loving, caring husband and a loving, caring his wife having sex. And that is comparing to the identical, a man with a loving, caring man as his spouse. This is not Leviticus. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Forgive me, I said, come into my life. Simple prayer, get you saved. I'm totally out of time. See you next week.